Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I mean, I think I've said this before. I feel like I'm just like a broken record, but there's definitely Pokemon in these lower tiers that are incredibly viable.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast.
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show with the phone
never ends.
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
Swing at that!
And your co-host,
and welcome to the 362nd episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my dancing flamingo dancer of a podcast host. I have Dr. Shamu.
Hello.
His image is a oracorio, the red one, so it looks like a flamenco dancer. And then, of course, I have the greatest co-host that I have to vacuum up after. It is the fluffiest Whimsicott.
That just sounds so wrong, considering the amount of times I've stayed at your house.
That's so true.
Hi.
It's always clean when you leave, so I'm not too worried about that. No, I mean, I don't mean it as a rude thing. I mean it as you're a Whimsicott and you like leave cotton balls all over the place.
I know. I was just trying to be difficult.
Of course. Okay, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a name that we came up with in 2007. By we, I mean myself. And, of course, this is your podcast, so your one-stop shop for everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to Pokemon Duel, that game that still exists and gets updates, but I don't know anybody that plays.
Joe Merrick.
I believe Joe Merrick only plays so that he can update Serebii.
That still means he has to play.
I believe that Joe Merrick is somewhat OCD, and he would lose his mind if he did not have a complete data set on every single Pokemon game on his website.
At this point, you're right. I would agree
as well.
Absolutely, you are right. Bless him for that. And I know that sometimes he hates his life because of that.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I understand entirely. I really do understand. Like, if I miss a week of podcasting, I do feel, like, awful about it, and it eats at me. And so I completely get it, Joe, because I know you've listened. He doesn't. He does not listen, but it's fine.
Even at this point, I would feel the same way at this point if I had that much done already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got all this stuff already on here, and now I don't have this new game. Like, I would have that exact same feeling.
Yep.
Like, I had to have this done.
We got to buy the game at launch. We got to play the game. It's got to be a thing. All right. And it's all of the good stuff. Pokemon Duel actually came out with like new figures. I'm really depressed that the trading figure game didn't take off physically, by the way. Like, it does make me really sad because the trading figure game, when it came out, was cool. That was like right in my heyday, like right before I started playing or started making Puckle as a podcast back in like 2006, 2007 is when the trading figure game came out and then was quickly like forgotten.
I would like to point out that this is actually a good thing for you. Like, I mean, look at your Amiibo collection.
Oh, yeah. No, you're exactly right. This is real. It would have been real bad. I would have been buying them like TCG cards and it would have been real bad. But to be fair, there are fewer of them than TCG cards. in each set.
Because the game didn't take off.
Well, okay. So even in their sets, like their quote-unquote sets, because they did have like three sets that came out in the U.S., there were only like 20 figures per set. It wasn't that bad. So, I mean, there's only like 60 figures out there in the wild. So if anybody's just like, man, I don't know what to get Thatch for Christmas, I know what you can get me for Christmas now.
Duly noted.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Don't buy me those. Please don't. I have no room to buy them.
Too late.
I already bought them all.
I already owned half of them.
Oh, God.
No, I don't.
Well, how have you guys been as of late? I guess we'll jump right into that. How you guys been?
Not bad.
How's Pokemon going for you, Dr. Shamu?
I don't think I've done anything Pokemon other than PTU.
Other than PTU? That's fair. So for those of you who are unaware, there is a PTU Patreon exclusive podcast you guys can go listen to over at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. Shameless plug. All it takes is a dollar, and it's all yours. It's in your ear holes. You can go listen to it. It will become public at some point. I don't want to say I'm holding it hostage, but it may or may not correspond to the number of iTunes reviews we get in the near future.
So you're saying you will hold Snag hostage, but not a podcast.
Well, I did, but or Linian hostage, but not a podcast. Yeah, that sounds right. I might hold Linian hostage, but not the podcast itself. But,
no, I mean, you did hold Snag hostage in a closet for iTunes reviews for like 6 months.
Yeah, so. Well, this one I don't need as many. I literally only want 8 because we're only 8 short of 300.
Ooh.
Like, we're not that far off from having 300 iTunes reviews. So I understand not a lot of people are listening to the show on iTunes anymore from our statistics, but I know there are still people doing it. So if you get a chance, if you're on Apple Podcasts, drop us a review. We'd really appreciate it. So just do that. Let other people know you like Puckle. And then maybe you'll get a PTU podcast that comes out, maybe, for free. But of course, Patreon will always get, like, they'll be like a couple months ahead, probably, in terms of content.
At this point, yeah.
In terms of content, they'll probably be a couple months ahead on Patreon. Just a heads up. All right, how about you, Whimsicott? What have you been up to?
Ooh, I feel like every time I've been on the show lately, the answer has been working.
Yeah,
and
that sounds right.
That's still true, but I want to change it up. I have been house hunting.
Ooh.
And I have, I guess I should have led with this. Like, it's supposed to be interesting. I have played Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, for like 10 minutes. And it's cute. I could not for the life of me manage to high five my Eevee.
Oh.
With the Pokeball Go Plus, I don't know if the demo is buggy or if I just suck. It's probably the latter, but whatever.
It takes skill.
Exactly.
It's a very skillful maneuver to do.
Which is like, it's a game for little children. They're even more uncoordinated than I am. This is cruel, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I have been playing a lot of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And I've been playing Pokemon White, actually. I decided to just play it, not Nuzlocke it, which helps because the amount of free time I have does not do for a Nuzlocke, especially if like 70% of the time is occupied by Zelda, but okay.
Yeah.
And no, I have found a new appreciation for some Pokemon like Tepig and Blitzel, and
yeah
I'm really enjoying it. It's a really good game.
I think it's actually a lot of those older games, I feel like there's just always a time where I'm just like, yeah, it's been long enough, and I can pick them up and I can just replay them and completely enjoy them, not exactly as if they were new exactly, but it's almost as if they were new.
Plus, fun fact, when I played Gen 5, I played Pokemon Black, and now I'm playing Pokemon White, and of course I have to have a Whimsicott, so I had to use the in-game trade. And I never knew this until now. Do you know what the nickname of the cottony you can trade for in Pokemon White is?
No. Is it Fluffy?
It's Fluffy! Yeah. Fluffy with two E's at the end, and I had to have it.
That's too perfect. Oh my gosh.
Right?
Oh my gosh. I've been in content overdrive mode this week. Because we've decided to start doing commentaries on the videos for the WWTC, mostly as like a dry run, for future tournaments, because I really have big plans for the tournament circuit in 2019, and I hope they can come to fruition. If not, it'll be like halfway there and it'll still be cool. And so these videos have been pretty cool. They've been fun to edit. I'm hoping to get some more people on the train with me, on the edit train, and we'll get some more out to you. But if you haven't already, go check out our YouTube. Go subscribe to it, Puckle Podcast on YouTube. We have content. I'm trying to do a video a day. Like, it's really rough, but I think it's doable. I'm trying to shoot for like 5-6 videos a week. It's kind of the goal.
And honestly, like, the videos, I'm not just saying it because, like, you know, I'm here and I'm part of the group of people who do the podcast, but they're really enjoyable. I love them.
Yeah, just go and do that. I mean, we're trying to get our partnership back because YouTube changed things. For those of you unaware of the like content creation community, so we used to be YouTube partners last year because YouTube used to set us partnership guidelines as having 10,000 lifetime channel views. And it turned out that just over the years, Puckle's YouTube posting like random videos finally got, or actually had, 10,000 lifetime views. So we became partners. It's really nice. We can make a little extra money. We weren't doing it fast. Like, you need to have $100 to pull it out. And I think we made like 15 before they killed us. But in February, because there was a lot of controversy on YouTube, or controversy, not controversy. This isn't Hershey, Pennsylvania or anything. But they had to change the partner guidelines. And that meant kicking out the old partners that didn't follow the new guidelines. And so the new guidelines require that we have 1,000 subscribers. I think right now we're at 540-ish. And so we need 1,000 subscribers. We're more than halfway there. And then you also need to have an insane number of watch minutes. By insane, it's 4,000 hours of watch minutes in a year, or watch time in a year, 4,000 hours, which works out to 240,000 watch minutes a year. Which works out, if you actually do all of the day math, something roughly around 650 minutes a day, which isn't terrible. Though, if we want to get partnerships sooner, we'd need to have higher numbers than that. And right now, I think we're at something like, what is it? We're probably doing about 500 minutes a day right now, just with the new videos. So if you guys are interested, do that. Or if you want to like catch the podcast on YouTube, I don't say this enough, but the podcast is on YouTube. It is available there as well. In all of its glory. But I should stop self-promoting. I feel really bad when I do that. And we'll kick it on over to the news, because there's a lot of exciting stuff this week. So cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And on to the news. That was a really excited like news, and I'm not that excited about this. There isn't that much. And so if you play Pokemon Go, what a week for you, as is every news segment nowadays. So if you play Pokemon Go, next community day was announced to be Cyndaquil. What? November 10th at the normal time. That's a Sunday. For those of you in America, that's a Saturday. Never mind. That's a Saturday. November 10th is a Saturday. I am incorrect, because the 12th is the Monday, and I get the Monday off because it's Veterans Day in the U.S. And oh. Yeah, isn't that nice? Working for the government for the win. And so if you want to go catch Shiny Cyndaquil and probably get a Typhlosion with Blast Burn, you can go ahead and do that. On November 10th, it'll be taking place at the usual times, usual places. Have fun. Also in Pokemon Go, even though we got Gen 4 released, we got even more Gen 4 released with this Halloween event that's going on until this Wednesday. Lots of Ghost and Dark-type Pokemon are popping up. It's a good time to finish up your Ghost-type medal, by the way, if you haven't already done that. And Dark-type, I guess, as well. But I got that because Murkrow was everywhere when Murkrow came out. And
oh, yeah, Murkrow.
Yeah, right? And so, but Stunky, Drifloon, which can be shiny. Giratina is a tier 5 raid boss, and there's also special research until Wednesday that will go away. It will go away to get Spiritomb. So definitely try to get that while you can. Catch it while you can.
I mean, it doesn't go away.
Like, it doesn't go away?
If you start it, it doesn't go away. Mm. But if you start playing Go next week, you'll never see it again.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really cool piece of... it's really cool. It's the only way to get Spiritomb, and it's got a bunch of references to 108, which I thought was really cute. because Spiritomb has a lot to do with 108 for those of you uninitiated. I would just say go explore that for yourselves.
The best part is, why does the first step of the research give me an encounter that's Lickitung? It's because Lickitung's Pokedex number is 108.
Yep.
That's so cute.
They put all of the Easter eggs in there. That's the one thing, like, at least Niantic gets really meta about things. Granted, I read recently that they have a lot of stuff wrong in the metadata for Gen 4. There's just so many things wrong. First of all, first Luxio was popping out of eggs instead of Shinx. The other thing that was in the metadata, I'm not sure if it's been fixed yet, was Fionn evolves into Manaphy with 50 Fionn candy.
Oh, gosh. I think they fixed all of it because as soon as the metadata got out, like, people were raging on Reddit.
I couldn't believe it. Like, so, that's a lot of mistakes. And I can understand why, because Gen 4 is a lot where people dropped off. I mean, I know a lot of people dropped off on Gen 4, and I could see, like, the staff of Niantic being, like, real big Pokemon players until Gen 3 and then just not in Gen 4.
I mean, they also got a ton of staff that's just programmers and not necessarily people who have played Pokemon before. So
that's absolutely true. And all right. Okay, moving on, though. More fun news. And I think probably the biggest piece of news this week is that Melmetal was announced because we saw this trailer for Meltan a couple weeks ago where Meltan appeared to evolve or merge with more Meltan. It is confirmed that Melmetal is the evolution of Meltan. However, and this is really weird, and I want to know how they're going to fix this in 2019, because they will make a way that you can catch Melmetal in, like, the mainline games without Pokemon Go. But right now, the only way to evolve Meltan in the Melmetal is to evolve it in Pokemon Go. And to evolve it in Pokemon Go, it requires 400 Meltan candy.
I have things to say about this.
Go ahead.
Which is, Meltan is made of molten metal, and it absorbs metal around it. And in order to evolve it, you have to have 400 Meltan candies, which you get by essentially grinding up other Meltan, which means that in order to evolve, Meltan is a cannibal.
Well, okay, like, so you don't need to grind up the Meltan. You don't need to grind up the Meltan. You catch them, you get 3 to 6 candy, depending on the pineapp. You don't even need to dump them all and get them grinded up into candy.
But the lore essentially says that this is a representation of the fact that, like, have you seen the trailer? There's, like, 100 Meltan, and then suddenly there's only one Melmetal.
Oh, no, it
so
definitely
one
just
Meltan came out
them
on top.
Well, if you do the also simple math, catching one is 3... transferring it's 1, so each one is technically 4. It's a total of 100 extra Meltan.
Yeah.
Which could then also be, if we're going with Zygarde numbers, you never know, they might get the 100 right there. They could do something like that.
I think it's really interesting. It breaks a lot of conventions. One that, so Meltan is a mythical Pokemon, but he is the first mythical Pokemon that evolves, which is really interesting. Melmetal also seems like a very interesting Pokemon in and of itself, just because we saw the base HP in the trailer, and if you do the calculations, assuming it's at 0 EVs and 31 IVs, it's got, I think, calculated a base HP of possibly 120.
Oh, well, that kind of makes sense.
It looks like he's going to be a bulky boy.
It's going to be much physical, because we have one move announced, too.
I think he's just going to be a better attacking Registeel, honestly.
It'll probably be a little, like, more physical defense, not especially defensive.
Yeah.
And then much more offense. Like, I think it'll be a more offensive, physically offensive Registeel.
Yeah, probably. I agree
it
with that.
Most likely.
He's got an exclusive hit in, I believe it's called Double Iron Bash, and it also has a chance to flinch.
It's like Gear Grind, I think, but flinch.
Yeah,
but
with
cross
flinch.
With Iron Head. Oh. Yeah,
the double hitting.
Yeah. Essentially, if this thing gets autotomized, it's going to Ubers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
oh,
it'd be
probably,
gross.
Yeah.
It would be gross. But yeah, Melmetal is interesting. It's just breaking all of the conventions. I don't know what conventions are left to be broken. They've just broken every convention that's ever existed in the past. I would honestly say since, like, the end of Gen 6. Even then, I would even say with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire it started, because we got Pokemon that were only available in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire that weren't available in X and Y due to the extra mega evolutions.
And the forms like Hoopambound.
Yeah, and so that, I mean, to be fair, I've seen forms happen before, like Platinum had that, but in terms of just having a significant number of Pokemon unavailable in a previous game in the same generation, Gen 7's been really good about it. Like, they're just like, yeah, we're running with this.
Yeah, Platinum had Shaymin Skyform, but...
And Orange like, and Giratina.
If you had Shaymin Skyform, you could still, like, take it in a battle with Diamond and Pearl, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It just wouldn't show up that way, but it would still have the effect of typing and stuff, I think.
Okay.
I mean, so, there were some issues with it, but I know like you could have Origin Form Giratina and battle somebody from Diamond and Pearl with Origin Form Giratina, and it wouldn't show up as Origin Form, but it would still have the stats of Origin Form. And I think exactly, that kind of stems back to the code when they did like Deoxys. Because Deoxys originally in Ruby and Sapphire only had one form.
Yeah, and then in Fire Red, Leaf Green, and Emerald got the others.
You got the other forms, and so with that, I think it really starts to open things up. Because you could still battle each other with Deoxys at that point. It just wouldn't show up as this specific sprite for that game, in that game. It's really weird. It was back when they didn't know what they were doing with Pokemon, and that's fine. I still don't think they actually know what they're doing. They're just having fun. But I think that's everything in the news.
Almost.
Nope. Yep, you're right. If for those of you who haven't gotten Pokemon Bank yet or haven't checked your Pokemon Bank, you can currently get Decidueye, Incineroar, and Primarina with their hidden abilities until Wednesday. The only one that really matters in that one for you is Incineroar. The rest of them don't matter.
Primarina is not terrible.
Because in
VGC, Liquid Voice, Hyper Voice isn't bad.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. I can see that.
It's
that's
not
about
great,
it.
But it's not bad either.
That's about it.
there's one more thing, though. And it's like, you know how we made you spend $40 on a Pokemon Go Plus, and now we're making you spend even more money on a glorified Pokemon Go Plus that's also a Pokeball and a Joy-Con? Well, now half of the functionality of that is moot because Pokemon Go is introducing Adventure Sync.
Oh, God.
Which essentially counts your steps. It syncs with your Google Fit and Apple Health. And yeah, like half the reason you got the Pokemon Go Plus is about to be gone.
Great. Good times. Good job, Niantic.
Right?
You're doing good things. Oh, also, final piece of Pokemon Go news, because we can't have enough Pokemon Go news. Shedinja is going to be showing up in the special research breakthrough starting as of November 1st. And so if you want Shedinja, this is the only way to get him. Next month, you can go get
Shedinja. I love
that. Honestly, I'm okay with it.
Like, legendary birds, legendary dogs, Shedinja.
Well, I knew it was going to be something weird, because after they had done the legendary birds, they did Snorlax. And then I'm just like, okay, so we're not getting like Lugia and Ho-Oh, not yet at least.
No,
they're gonna do something
honestly,
else.
Honestly, like Shedinja, it's hilarious. I don't know why.
I'm okay with that. I do expect us to see probably Lugia and Ho-Oh in the future, but I do think they'll give us the Regis first. But the Regis just came out of cycle, and I think it's a little too soon for them. Hopefully, they keep doing the legendaries, because that's really the big thing for the research for me personally.
I think the one thing that might get me back into Go is if they do a Regirock research, just so I can guarantee myself to get that.
A Choco Rocco.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's where we're going to end it, guys. And we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. Shamu and Whimsicott are operating as a team today to get points to... They're going to get points such that they can compete against the other co-host. It is a race to 30 points. Whoever gets there gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com because Basket is particular. There will be 5 questions, each worth 1 point apiece. One of the questions will include a bonus point for them to grab it, 6 points, and then if they will have one hint they can use as a lifeline throughout the questioning, and then if they get all the questions correct without using it, they can cash it in for a 7th point, for a possible total of 7. So if you guys are ready today, I've got a lot of user submitted questions. If you are so inclined,
I guess
we'll have to be.
So this question comes from Sparky, and we were actually just talking about this offline in the mod chat a few weeks ago. So I think you guys should be able to get this one. So he's going to be asking you about three moves in particular, and if you list all three moves, you get the point. So how many flying type moves does Whimsicott learn by level up in Gen 7? Well, just give me the number. That's fine.
Gust, Hurricane are by level up. Then it gets Defog by Tutor, and it gets Tailwind as an egg move. I don't think Tailwind... Is Tailwind by level up?
I don't know offhand.
I don't think it's by level up.
It's three moves by level up, you said?
Yeah, he says level up. Let me double check to make sure he wasn't mistaken. No, it is by level up. Look at that.
It gets four total or five if you count Hidden Power Flying.
Yes. So one of those moves you think is not a level up move is a level up move.
So it learns Defog then, though?
Defog is not by level up. Tailwind might be by level up. So it would be three.
I can see that. I feel it does for some reason, but I'm not.
I feel like it does too. Yeah, I think it's Gust, Hurricane, and Tailwind. Yeah.
Agreed.
That is correct. It is Gust, Hurricane, and Tailwind. He does also get Defog through Move Tutor, but yes, those are the flying type moves that Whimsicott gets. That's for all the meme. That is 1 point for you guys today. We're going to move on to question number two from none other than Shira. So Shira wants to know, when I can find the DM, what Pokemon can devolve according to its gold Pokedex entry?
A Slowpoke. A Slowbro. If the Shellder lets go, right?
Yep. That sounds about right. The only thing I could think of that would make sense for that.
Yeah.
That is correct. Slowpoke can devolve according to its gold Pokedex entry because Shellder can just let go and then the Slowbro becomes a Slowpoke. That's weird. It's something.
yeah.
It's a thing. All right. So next question. This one comes from Lydian, and I actually really like this one. And this one's for you guys. So I want to know, because Halloween's coming up this week, what is the first ghost-type Pokemon to come in the national decks?
Ghastly.
And from top to, like, just numerically?
Yeah, it's numerically. Just Ghastly. Because there's only three ghost-type Pokemon in Generation 1, and they're family, so it has to be Ghastly.
In national decks order.
Yeah, in national decks order.
Or a Pokemon that is part ghost-type.
It can be part ghost-type,
partial.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll say Ghastly. Marowak. Marowak.
Does Marowak come before Ghastly?
Because technically Marowak and Alola Marowak are the same Pokedex number.
I know they are, but I thought Cubone and Marowak after Ghastly.
Is it?
Look, the thing is, if they're asking the question, it means it's not Ghastly because it's too obvious. So exactly. You're right. It has to be Marowak.
That's what I'm thinking too. I'm like, they wouldn't do... Ghastly, I think, is like 100. It's close to 100.
100 is Voltorb.
Well, the thing is 100, but it's close to that number. Exactly. I know it's not like 50 or anything like that. It's higher up.
Yeah, and I think Marowak might be like 80-something. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
Let's go with a little Marowak.
Then we'll get stumped and then we'll just hate ourselves for this. But yeah,
I mean, at least we thought about it. Yeah. You thought about it.
So I'm going to give you the point on Marowak, because that is a real out-of-the-box solution, and also what Linian gave me as the solution. I should have double-checked him, because it is Ghastly. The answer is, in fact, Ghastly, because National Dex number 92 is Ghastly. But National Dex number 105 is Marowak. So they're pretty close. I'm going to give you the point, though, because that's why he asked the question. That was the intent. To get you to say Alolan Marowak. So, good enough for me.
Because I recently replayed that name every Gen 1 Pokemon in under 12 minutes game.
Yeah.
And I was pretty sure that Gastly is not that far into the Pokedex.
No, it's only 92.
And it's still close to 100, though.
It's close to 100.
Yeah, yep. You're right.
All right. So next question is your two-parter. You guys are 3-for-3 right now because Thatch is a kind god. And so this is your bonus point question. This one also comes from Linian. And we're talking about Dex numbers again because something Thatch and Linian came up with questions really close to the start of the show. And So we want to know which two types have the highest Dex numbers for their first monotype Pokemon. So every type has a monotype Pokemon now.
Yes. One is flying.
Some of them happened very late in the game. Which two happened late in the game?
One is flying. Because there's only one and it's in Gen 5 at the end because it's a legendary. And the other is probably... Okay, so it's probably between Dark and...
happened in Gen 4, so I don't think it'd be Dark.
Umbreon.
Well... happened late in the game. That was a part of the question. So it's not something that's...
No, how late. I just want the types. The questions are the types.
Exactly. Well, when you said the question, you said these that happened late in the game.
Well, no. I just meant it's like that was just me using a euphemism. Which two?
Dark. Yeah. It's not Dark because Alola Meowth is single Dark type.
Well, it's also the one that happened first, correct? So
exactly. It's actually Steel, because the first... No. Does this take into account the type change in... because Mawile was the first mono Steel type, right?
And then it turned to Steel Fairy, correct?
Yeah. Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
So the first mono Steel type is now Registeel.
It doesn't matter.
Because Steel Registeel.
Because if you're going with that, then we don't work. Fairy wouldn't work, because then you have.
I need an answer. I need answers.
You made this too complex. Stop.
It's flying and
flying with Stratus is one.
Flying and Steel sounds good.
That is correct on both accounts. that because flying in Tornadus and Registeel. That's why I said it didn't matter, because it's either Mawile or Registeel, depending on how you want to look at it. And they're both correct.
It's actually not, because if you count Mawile, then actually Dragon comes like...
No, Dratini's a pure dragon type. You're wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, Dratini. Yep. You're right. So
it doesn't matter.
It's flying and Steel.
Yep, it's flying and Steel.
Question. I don't like that one.
Well, you got it right anyway. You're 5-for-4 right now.
You got it right, but it's still an irritating question.
I liked it.
Question number 5.
I like this kind of question.
As always, is a base stat question. And I want to know, what psychic type Pokemon has the highest base HP of all psychic type Pokemon?
It's Solgaleo. Okay. You've asked this like 3 times.
That actually sounds right, yeah.
Highest base HP of all psychic types?
Yeah, it used to be Wobbuffet and it's now Solgaleo.
I don't believe that.
Solgaleo's got like 137. It's got like a massive HP stat.
I'm gonna double check myself now, but I'm gonna say you're wrong.
Okay, if I'm wrong, then Shumu gets to answer. We didn't lock it in yet.
I'm gonna give you a free hint right now and say it is not Solgaleo.
Fine, then I guess it has to be Wobbuffet. What do you think, Shamu?
I'm just trying to think of some other stuff just in case. I'm trying to. I do agree it's probably Wobbuffet. It's just I'm trying to. Like, what's Wobbuffet's base HP again? It's like 120?
No, it's a bit more, I think.
A bit more?
Because Solgaleo is higher than that.
Yeah, it's probably Wobbuffet. I can't think of anything else that's like that has high HP other than like that and Solgaleo.
Let's see.
Necrozma doesn't.
No.
Necrozma got good defense and stuff, but not like that.
Slowking and Slowbro don't have that much HP.
No, they've got like 80 or 90 or something. No, they got 100, I believe. But not at that point. I don't think anything else that's new got it either, so I won't say well with that.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to use the hint, or do you want to just go for it?
I don't want to go for it.
Roll
point.
The dice.
Yeah, let's go for it. We're going to say Wobbuffet.
That is correct. The answer is Wobbuffet with a base of 190 HP. Sogaleo's got 137. You are completely wrong. I have asked about Sogaleo in the past, and the answer is usually for like highest attack or something.
Steel type. No, it's at the highest HP of steel types. That's yes. What got me confused.
Yep, it is usually steel type, and that is Sogaleo, but it is not psychic. It is Wobbuffet. So that gives you guys 7 points today. You rolled the dice and you won. So let me go ahead and update those point totals for you. These guys are competing, like I said, for $20 of PokemonCenter.com credit up against their co-host friends. And I do not have the sheet readily accessible, but they got a +7, so good for them. Good. Oh,
I mean,
we
you
I
were very, very lenient.
Only on the one, because the question was like intentionally misleading to an extent. So I will say that. And oh wow, this actually changes up a lot. Changes up the board pretty significantly. Because I mean, 7 points is a lot of points for a week. So we're gonna go ahead. Data. We're gonna sort. And so in first place, we have Basket with 19 points, my favorite thing to carry. And then you've also got Whimsicott in second place with 18 points. Tied for third right now, we have Sublime and Dr. Shamu with 13 points apiece. In fifth place, we have Gator with 12. In sixth place, we have Jushiro with 8. In seventh place, we have Scrawn with 6. In eighth, we have Viger and Bosefus with 5. Tenth, we have Maximus with 4. In 11th, we have Sigma with 3, and when bringing up the rear, we have Snag with 2. And that is going to be it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. We'll be right back at you after this short break with the topic.
Ciao, I'm the fluffiest Whimsicott, and I want to tell you how you can enjoy Puckle even more and make it better at the same time. First, join our Discord server. You can hang out with us and a ton of cool people, take part in our tournaments, and get all our news right out of the gate. You can also interact and keep up with us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on our subreddit. If you love live content, we're on Twitch at least twice a week with all sorts of streams, from viewer battles to shiny hunting to PTCGO. If you want to drop a little bit of your extra cash on us in exchange for cool stuff, we have both a Patreon and a TeePublic store, so be sure to check those out. And finally, there's so much great Puckle content that we're now on 2 feeds. Make sure you are subscribed to both Puckle and Puckle Plus, so you don't miss out on any of our sideshows. And drop us a review while you're at it. We really appreciate your feedback. Thank you!
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be what makes a Pokemon competitively viable? A discussion about Pokemon. So, I think we'll just open up here with what makes it good. I think there are we can definitely say right off the bat, there are Pokemon that are inherently good. We have Lando T as like the prime example. It's inherently good. Even Uber Pokemon, you can say inherently good. That's why they got banned to Ubers. I would also argue Kyurem Black to an extent. I think Kyurem Black is horribly underplayed in the OU tier. And
it's a great wall breaker.
It's just so good.
Hey, with 170 base attack, you're decent at something. Like, you're going to hit hard.
How many Pokemon exist in the tier that have a 700 base stat total? None,
exactly.
Except for Kyurem Black. And it, like, 700 base stat total is crazy. The only reason it's an OU, in my personal opinion, is because of the ice typing. That's quite literally...
It's the ice typing and the move pool to a degree. Yeah, his... Even the Kyurem White, it's just, you can't nerf special attack.
Yeah, I mean, I
you
agree. Yeah, that's the reason. You can't nerf special attack. There's no Will-O-Wisp or Intimidate for special attack. And
and Kyurem Black is like physical, and half the people run it special anyway because running it physical is just stupid sometimes.
Yeah, you don't even run it mixed. You run like Ice Beam, Earth Power, and then you just run like a physical like Dragon and Fusion Bolt, something like that.
You typically run it mixed-ish.
Yeah, it's generally a mix with like a Life Orb or a Scarf, etc. But that's something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's just a few things. I think that's a really good Pokemon, a really good example, though, of just things that are just inherently good. And then there's things that kind of fluctuate. I mean, if anybody follows the actual Smogon tiering, we're also doing this in the Smogon tiering system. I think to an extent, that needs to just be reconciled because Smogon is kind of where a lot of competitive players say end all be all. And I understand why. They collect a lot of data. They run the best simulator on the internet for Pokemon battles. And that they do a lot more work than I think I'm willing to put into a tiering system. Granted, does that mean I think things are wrong? Probably. A couple of bans. I'm still not a fan of the Aegislash ban.
I'm still not a fan of Landorus Therian not being banned because it over-centralizes the meta. But that's what I meant about Lando like being an inherently good Pokemon. It's good in singles and it's good in VGC always.
This
is just
true.
A good competitive Pokemon.
That has to do, I think, so what makes a Pokemon good, if we're really going to try to talk about that briefly, I think one is its typing. Because if you look at ground flying, that is an insanely good typing. You are immune to the most spammable attack in the game, which is Earthquake. And on top of that, your weaknesses are water and ice. Those are your weaknesses. Ice type is very common to see on not ice type Pokemon because ice type is pretty much the worst worst defensive typing that's ever existed. And so you don't see a lot outside of like Hidden Power Ice.
Exactly. And Landorus bulky enough to leave most of those.
I mean, that combination right there. On top of that, you have Intimidate. So you're lowering physical attacks. So even if there was like a physical attacking ice type move, maybe like a Mamoswine or something, you're lowering the attack. It's not like Mamoswine is going to ice charge you to death if you're defensively bulky. And then on top of that, it gets access to the most spammable move in the game, which is Earthquake, which hits things hard, and it gets Stab on top of that. So
yeah,
it's a really good typing overall, and that's why Lando is good. But I think it's more worthwhile talking about Pokemon that fluctuate the tiers, because I think this is something that's bigger and more inherent to Pokemon, and people don't quite understand the concept of a metagame, because a metagame is always shifting. That's why it's a meta game, because you're trying to break, quote unquote, play the meta or beat the meta, which means people know these things are good. Well, how do you beat the things that you know are good? Right. That's essentially the game of Pokemon. And that's true outside of Pokemon as well. In a lot of other competitive games, such as like, I would say Hearthstone or even Yu-Gi-Oh or the Pokemon TCG. And
yeah, but I mean, I think it's interesting that if you come at it from the other side, like a few years ago, I was like, okay, let's make a competitive team. And I went to Smogon and I thought, okay, so I'm going to pick most of my Pokemon from the OU tier because those are the good ones. Like, so, that's how I thought back then. And I think a lot of people still do.
Okay, I don't think that's a bad thing to do. I personally don't. It is generally a good place to find the good Pokemon, because there's a reason they're in the OU tier. There's a reason people are using them and their usage is so high. It's because they're working, right? And so you could do that, and if especially for a first timer, I think it's a great way to get in. I think it brings up the conversation though of you'll see things used in OU and you can see things used successfully. Like Shamu and I can tell you, we've played some really weird sets and some really weird Pokemon and that have seen success in OU.
Like, maybe first one comes to mind is the Skarmory.
Yeah, I'm thinking weakness. What is it? Weakness policy? No, it wasn't weakness policy.
It was weakness policy, Skarmory.
Yeah, weakness policy, weak armor, Skarmory. We made that work. And, like, we play stuff like that.
No, what was the weakness policy? We had Sword of Death, but we were using, like, Rocky
yeah,
and Z or whatever.
That was it, Rocky and Z.
It's like, yeah. That was so much fun.
Yeah. And so I can vouch and say that just because it's not in the OU tier doesn't mean it's not good. And it comes up
to
a very interesting point there, because you're not just trying to. So if you're a newer player, I say, yeah, go to the OU tier, find some Pokemon, build a team there, because you're going to learn.
You'll have the most success with that.
You'll have good success. You'll be able to learn how to play the game without getting too defeated. And that's really what you have to do. You just go in there, you play, you have fun. And the real big thing for me personally is I think there's a difference between the number of good Pokemon players and the number of good Pokemon team builders. I think that's an important differentiation to make, because realizing something's good is different than being able to use it. Those are two different things.
Present company very much included.
So,
like, I won a tournament, but I can't team build to save my life.
So I would say, like, if I were left to my own devices, and probably Shamu to his own devices as well, we're both horrible team builders individually.
Together we work well, but individually we're
really good together. Like, he and I will sit down and we can craft a team, and it'll be one of the most fun, best teams that we've ever built. But if we sit down and we sit down separately, we won't do very well. I also know that I can be handed teams, and I'm very good at piloting certain teams, but it's definitely not a team I would have come up with on my own, right? Because in my mind, I have some team building apprehensions. Like, I don't like to see more than one or two choice scarf or choice items on my team, but somebody might send me one that has like three, and I'll play it and I'll be like, man, this actually works really well, and I can actually make it work. And that's the big thing. I think there's a difference between being able to pilot and being able to create. And I think one of those skills is harder than the other. And it definitely takes more work to become a good team builder, which is why you see things like, I don't want to use Slowbro as an example, because I think Regenerator is kind of its own case. But that's kind of the reason you can see some lower tier Pokemon see usage up in these higher tiers. Because people who recognize, hey, I need to fill this gap on this team that I've been building, they go, well, I know this Pokemon in this lower tier fills that kind of role, and it does it uniquely in this tier, and they kind of pull it out, and they put it on that team, and they say, maybe this will work, and it does, right? And I think that's, I wouldn't say that not everything is competitively viable, but I would say a lot of things, I would say like half the Pokemon for sure are competitively viable in OU. You can make almost any Pokemon work in OU.
Yeah, but like, there are instances in which, you know, now some Pokemon are really usable, and like, if you bring up something like Alifio now, it's gonna suffer. But I brought Alifio into OU a couple of years ago, and it wasn't so terrible.
Yeah.
So how much does the current meta influence how good a Pokemon can be? Like, every Pokemon has limits, but I think for most Pokemon, those limits shift very much with the meta.
It comes down to that, and like power creep and stuff too, like between generations. That power creep is the main thing you'll see in a lot of games that are kind of are continually updated in a way. Like, Pokemon is like whenever we get a new game or a main series game, that's the update per se, or like a new event pops around, like when we get the Intimidate
Incineroar.
Other things big, like Hearthstone and Yu-Gi-Oh and the TCG, they have much more often because they have sets releasing multiple times a year and new cards are coming out multiple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So they see it more often, they're more familiar with it. Pokemon, it's just like,
I agree.
Presented with a new item, essentially. Like, their aura, that's power creep in a sense, because now we have this Pokemon.
I think
it's not saying it's good, but I'm saying that's an example. Like, hey, here's this update, not an update, but like, here's this new Pokemon to play around with. Now there's this new factor into the game that we have to work around.
Yeah.
And that'll change certain things. Certain things will be better, certain things will be worse.
I don't think the meta is as fluid as you might think it is in terms of Pokemon. I think when we get new things, like Shamu said, like Intimidate Incineroar, or when we get a new game, it was definitely big when Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon came out because we got, you know, Stack Attack and Blacephalon, and I think both of them are fun.
And we also got move tutors for everything.
Yeah, the move tutors are also big as well. I mean, the number of things that get defog now are crazy good. Like, I love it.
Yeah, like Rotom with defog is insane.
Yeah, I love it. And that's really, really big things that I think need to be thought about. But it doesn't shift as often as something like a TCG. And in terms of like you talking about the Leafeon, like if we're going to take that example, I think in terms of like our community, because if you look at our community, we host our own tournaments, we do our own thing. And I would say that we are a microcosm of our own meta to an extent, because a lot of people in our community, I'm not saying that they aren't good, I'm just saying we're different and we try to do things a different way. And
yeah, I mean, we are much more willing to use our favorite Pokemon or just some quirky Pokemon for the sake of it.
Exactly.
And so you're never going to find OU the team in every single battle in your tournament.
Yeah.
You're perfectly right.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is that we veer more from the average than a typical probably Smogon tournament would. And that makes our meta slightly different. Like we create an environment where something like Leafeon could succeed. And
I mean, not succeed, but suck slightly less than usual.
Where it could work, right? We create an environment for that. And that's something that, especially, I mean, if we're talking in the context of just private tournaments, I think that that's completely different. But if we're talking about the overarching metagame, I don't think Leafeon would work. Yes, it's one of those things. It's in between what I would call a gimmick and just building a regular team. Because, yeah, I want to use this Pokemon in OU. It's in PU because it's a Leafeon, or it's NU. I think Leafeon's an NU. And it's... And I want to use it, and I want to make it work. But the problem is, it's just like, well, if you want to use Leafeon, why aren't you just using Venusaur? Because Venusaur is already a better Chlorophyll user than Leafeon.
Or like, why aren't you using, or well, for Chlorophyll, yeah. Or like Tank Growth, for example. Like,
yeah,
here's
exactly.
Using Leafeon because it's cute.
No, that's exactly
that's
it.
That's the only reason.
and that's why I would classify that in terms of almost a gimmick, because it's just it's one of those things you're trying to do just to have fun, and that's fine. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with that.
Gimmicks are like a big part of this conversation. Leafeon is more like a one trick pony than a gimmick.
Yeah, I think it also comes down to, if we're talking about what makes Pokemon viable, a lot of the things in lower tiers, a lot of them, are Pokemon that just don't have. They get outclassed. They get outshined. That's the problem. Like I said, like you're running Leafeon. Why not run Venusaur? Why not run Tangrowth? Both of those are better options if you want something that's more consistent.
Yeah, like they don't do the exact same thing, but I get what you're saying. Like they're better competitive grass types.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like there are some Pokemon that see a lot of usage because they are gimmicky Pokemon. They have one gimmick and they do that really well. And sometimes that gimmick is very relevant to the current meta. But if you look like their base stats, you say, how can this be good?
The only thing I can think of that is like that is Smeargle.
Exactly.
Like,
and that comes down to
move pool. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it comes down to move pool at that point. And
like, you can have a garbage Pokemon, but you could have an incredible ability, which isn't the case for Smeargle, really. But like, it's like move pool, base stats, typing, move. Wait, did I say it's a wait?
I mean,
ability, move pool.
Whimsicott, for example, like now it has decent typing because fairy is a really great typing. And if you edit something, you're going to increase the variability of its typing by like 300%. But even before that, Whimsicott had that prankster thing. Like Whimsicott has won several world championships. And one of them was just like by using Beat Up and Tailwind with Terrakion.
That was really cool to see. I didn't even think of ever think about that. And I feel kind of like, wow, that's what I should have thought about before.
Yeah, no.
Like, combinations.
Exactly.
That's
and
VGC,
though. Like,
that's a completely different beast. Like,
I know. If
we're going to talk about competitive viability in VGC, I think that's a completely different beast than if we're talking about something like single.
There are so many more Pokemon that are viable in VGC. Like,
yeah, that's the problem. That's really the problem with VGC. VGC, I don't think there is really a team. I think the closest thing we ever came to was Chalk, we had a bunch of Pokemon that were really good together and they worked really well together and there wasn't too much that could beat it. But honestly, I think Chalk only existed because the meta stagnated in terms of people wanting to play it, because Chalk got really popular at the North American Championships that year. That's where Chalk really hit off, and then Chalk did really well at Worlds. And the problem is, after Worlds, you have 6 months, or not 6 months, but you have 4 months of playing the same meta, but everybody's getting ready for the next one. And you typically don't see a lot of growth after the World Championships in that meta. I love the Sun series and how that they changed the meta right after Worlds. I love that. And I think that's what needs to happen.
Example,
you're going to have stagnant metas like that.
It was like last year or early this year, there was like a month where the thing in VGC was Torkoal Lilligant.
Yes.
Like, Lilligant. I mean, VGC is a whole nother thing, completely.
A lot of Pokemon have a lot of things that work really well if they can get an immediate boost, and single battles doesn't allow for that.
Exactly.
I think a big example of this is Trick Room. Like, yes, you can get Trick Room to work in singles.
Yeah.
But you can take way more advantage of Trick Room in doubles.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that's and something that I think that's really the issue, especially in just like the 4v4 format. As if you were to even go to single battles, 3v3, you can do way more with 3v3 single battles than you can with 6v6.
I guess I just, like, where I wanted to go with this entire topic was helping people realize that there are way fewer Pokemon that are really, really bad than people tend to think by looking at Smogon tiers.
I think I've said this before. I feel like I'm just like a broken record. But there's definitely Pokemon in these lower tiers that are incredibly viable. And it's just they're just kind of waiting for somebody to use them. Like, find the way to use them. I guarantee it. Like, you could find something that's going to perform and take you to like 1500 on the ladder right now if you go down to these lower tiers. I mean, an example of this, Gastrodon. Gastrodon did really poopy until recently, and he got moved up to OU. And same with Slowbro, but like I said, Regenerator is a completely different beast because Regenerator just, they drop down and then come back up whenever Regenerator is popular.
Yeah, and Quagsire kind of did like the opposite thing. Like, yeah. A year or two ago, it was UU or even OU for a short while.
It was OU and now, when Gen 6 came out, too.
Exactly. And now nobody's really using it.
Nobody's using it, but I think it's only because Clefable is doing such a good job at being Clefable.
And yeah, it's essentially it's just a water ground type of Clefable that has a couple different options, really. Like
we've also seen a good number of Pokemon that can counter. We've seen more grass type usage, I think, in Gen 7 than we did in Gen 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, the only thing that really Quagsire does above Clefable is just Unaware Haze, really. Mm-hmm. Like that, I guess, like Water Scald, but you can burn too, but that's not much.
I mean,
it has a
really good typing. Like, if you need an electric immunity on your team.
The real problem is it just doesn't. There's too many grass types running around now. Like, you can see a couple good grass types. I mean, Tangrowth, I think, is the prime example. Tangrowth wasn't as popular in Gen 6. I don't know why. I thought Tangrowth was amazing in Gen 6. But
it still was good.
Yeah, it was still good then. And
I think in Gen 6, there was, like, once, Mega Pinsir came out, there was a lot of bird swap going on.
Yeah,
like between Gale Wings, Talonflame, Talonflame
is the reason. Never mind. Talonflame's literally the reason that Quagsire is down now. Actually, never mind.
But that's another part of the topic. Like, sometimes it takes very, very little for a Pokemon to become viable or to become unviable.
Yeah. Well. That's true.
Talonflame is bigger though, just because Gale Wing got completely nerfed.
Yeah, Gale Wing. They did so much to hate Talonflame in Gen 7, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine because it was getting bad. Like, Talonflame was really broken in Gen 6. Like, it was stupid good.
I would argue that Lando needs a similar treatment. But I know it's never going to get it, so I'll just give my
corner. So the problem with Lando isn't that, like, if you took away Intimidate, it's still a good Pokemon. Like,
I would be perfectly fine with that. Like, I would probably see it on, like, 40% of teams instead of 50% of teams, and I would be appeased.
That's true. I don't know. That's the big thing.
It's one of those what ifs too, because like if they did it like right after, it's like, okay, no big deal. Gen 5 to Gen 6, Lando T got nerfed, but it's been a while, and then people, like, you change its move pool, well, then you can just still transfer it back up with that old move pool. And if they get rid of Intimidate, what will they replace it with? They're just going to give it like Frisk? Probably not. It is a legendary. They're probably going to give it something.
Give it Levitate.
Maybe Pressure, but even then, Pressure can still be a problem at some points.
Honestly, I would give it Levitate and an Air Balloon, but that's just me.
Levitate and Rotom fan. Here we go.
Exactly. But no, it's the thing is, as you said, it's still a really good Pokemon.
Yeah.
And the fact that it has completely dominated the VGC meta and the singles meta ever since the day it came out.
So
bugs me.
It just means you haven't been paying attention to, I think, a lot of the metas. I think since Chalk Lando's been present, but I think you could say the same thing since Chalk with Zapdos. Zapdos has been just as present. And that's really, I think, one, Lando left a bad taste in our mouth in Gen 6. It really did. And so we all hate it to an extent. And in singles, yeah, it's still really prominent. But if we were to look at VGC, I think Lando usage is so low right now comparatively to where it was. It still pops up every once in a while. It's not there that often, though, because I mean, I did run one back in St. Louis, but I don't think a lot of other people were. That's the big thing. There weren't too many other people doing it. There's a lot of good usage otherwise. So just keep that in mind. This is a good place to stop, though.
Yeah. I guess I'll just say Zapdos will never annoy me as much as Lando T, because it's not as offensive as Lando T, so it's never going to destroy teams the way Lando T can. It's not as versatile as Lando T. It's almost as good, but it's not going to completely destroy your will to live the way Lando does.
You've never played a good Zapdos, apparently. But
I don't know if you've played against
Look. Zapdos is typically the kind of Pokemon that at one point you realize you have no way of killing. Mm-hmm. And then you just want to die because the Zapdos is not going to die. But I've never seen a Pokemon do that and then proceed to destroy your team at almost the same time, the same way that Lando does.
Yeah. Ninja with Protein and Gunk Shot.
Yeah, there we go. There's another one. Okay, but
sweeps. It's not also like unkillable.
Well,
it is. You can't catch it.
Yeah. The thing with Greninja, that speed was at a point where like maybe one or two things could like outspeed
okay,
it.
Okay, and I'm gonna tell you that now, Lo, that got banned.
It did get banned.
Oh, from OU. Yeah. Okay. I'm not gonna go into that too much because the answer is I think if all of us got our way, Lando T would have been banned from OU a long time ago. And
yes.
It's not our decision. That's the problem with that. Maybe the people tiering maybe love Lando T a little too much. I'd love to see a Lando T missing
ladder.
Meta. Yeah. Suspect ladder. I would love to see that. I think the meta would shift so drastically.
Like they had Scaldless UU. We want Landoless OU.
Yeah, that's about it. But I don't want to turn this into like Lando T should go away. The argument.
I am contractually required to be salty about Lando every time I'm on the show.
All right, this is a good place to end it. We will take a short break, guys, and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. The Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 637, the Volcarona, the Sun Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Ultra Moon Pokedex entry states, according to legends, it was hatched from a flaming cocoon to save people and Pokemon that were suffering from the cold.
Okay, so before we start with anything real that matters, I would just like to point out that its Japanese name is fantastic. It's Olga Moth. And
yep.
It makes me so happy on the inside. Like, I would be okay with that also being the English name. Not gonna lie. But Volcarona is not a bad Pokemon by any stretch of the imagination.
It Despite is, being four times weak to Stealth Rocks.
That's the only thing. If it wasn't that, it would probably go to Ubers. I'm not gonna lie, because its stats are distributed so well. It's one of those things that Game Freak was like, "Yeah, we want this to be good," because base 85 HP, base 60 attack, base 60 defense, 65 defense, base 135 special attack, base 105 special defense, base 100 speed. They're just like, "Yeah, this thing's gonna be a special attacker. Let's go," and. Then they gave it moves to back that up. They're just like, hey, Quiver Dance. So now you can get a +1 to special defense, speed, special attack, the three stats that he cares about. Fiery Dance is a move that he gets as well, which allows him to just get a boost, a special attack boost, maybe. Like
50%
of the time, all the time.
Yeah, it's absurd. And I mean, bug and fire typing aren't terrible either. I think they're decent types.
Well, it's the only Pokemon with that typing, which is the only way. It's also the only Pokemon that has a double weakness to the rock without being a flying type.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which then in turn makes them the most vulnerable to entry hazards because they take damage from rocks affected by spikes, toxic spikes, and sticky webs. So they get hit by every hazard.
Wait for that bug ice type. It's happening. Okay.
Yeah. If you have a Volcarona on your team and you don't have a Defogger, that's not Volcarona, or a Rapid Spinner, you don't love your Volcarona enough and you should not be allowed to use it.
Also, it's got a decent shiny. Good for it.
Yeah. It's got like,
it's, it goes through like the Rito range to
like Rotia chips.
I prefer the original, but it is a good shiny.
It's actually a good shiny. So, like, I mean, good for it. Nice job, Volcarona. You're doing well for yourself. But, I mean, yeah, with those stats, you could totally run an OU, which you can.
and it also has good coverage.
Yeah, you run Quiver Dance, Fire Blast, Bug Buzz, HP Ground, boom. Throw a Bugnium Z on it for fun times. And
I mean, HP Ground just because freaking Heatran and other Pokemon are everywhere. But honestly, it gets Psychic, Giga Drain, Hurricane. Yeah,
my favorite set for a little while was Psychium Z. I love Psychium Z.
Yeah, I love that one too.
There's one set that I love the most that's not, I don't know if it's really viable anymore. It was a rain version where you run HP Water and Hurricane.
That's crazy.
Wow,
awesome.
I love that.
You just like, it's like Bug Buzz, HP Water, Hurricane.
I want Supersonic Sky Strike, Supersonic Sky Strike Volcarona to be a thing.
I used it in the PDL.
That's got to be a thing. Like, I want to make that
I used
thing.
It in the PDL, and good. It was so much fun.
Good.
It was a suggestion by... who... Oh, gosh.
It gets Rage Powder, too. What? Good on you, Volcarona, trying to be a support mon when you shouldn't be. And it gets Giga Drain.
You've got that Flame Body.
It gets
Giga Drain. Yeah, Rage Powder, take the burn.
It gets Tailwind as well.
Oh, yeah, my
it gets
gosh.
Decent support stuff. It's a good Pokemon overall.
Exactly. It's a really good Pokemon. Like, if you can keep it from getting hit by super effective physical moves... It can be a good support Pokemon in VGC.
Because technically, you get Heat Wave. You also get Defog that you wouldn't run on it, but you get it.
Oh,
you
my
get
gosh.
Will-O-Wisp.
Volcarona, stop being so good. Just stop. He's so...
Solar Beam for sun gimmicks. You get Roost. Roost was actually used on a couple of before.
I have seen Roost on it before.
I used Roost back in Gen 6 when Volcarona was a thing.
Bulkarona? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Bulkarona.
Like,
yeah.
Like bulk and skull?
Corona. You made it bold, and there was a very specific EV spread
that
you used, and you made it bulky so it could survive anything while it quiver danced, and then you went to town. I loved that set. It was amazing.
So Volcarona doesn't have any really good cards. It has one in rotation. Obviously at stage one, because it needs to evolve.
It's the Shining Legends one.
Yeah, Shining Legends. Heat Cyclone, once their turn before you attack, you may have your opponent switch their active Pokemon with one of their bench Pokemon. So it's like, I guess it's like an escape rope, but just for your opponent. And the attack isn't that good, though.
You may switch, right?
You may have your opponent switch their active Pokemon.
Oh, so they get to pick. Yeah.
They get to pick. So it's like escape rope, kind of.
Well, it's more like the Volcarona... Volcanion Prism, which you pitch a water to have them do that too.
Ah, okay. Well, this one does it for free. You don't need Volcanion.
Yeah, but it's a stage one, not a basic.
Yeah. And so it also, for damages, it does one fire, one colorless, Heat Blast for 60. Not that great. But the Volcarona from Steam Siege is cool because it was one of those cool dual type cards they did for that one set for whatever reason. And it's shiny. And for one grass energy, it does Shimmering Scales. Flip a coin. If heads, your opponent's active Pokemon is now confused. If tails, your opponent's Pokemon is now paralyzed. Both of those are good things. And then for three colorless, it does Power Hurricane for 120. But unfortunately, you have to discard all the energy attached to this Pokemon, which is not worth it.
No.
So that's unfortunate for you, Volcarona, but you're a Pokemon, let me tell you, in the Pokemon TCG. I want Volcarona GX. That needs to be a thing. All the Pokemon we talk about need a GX. Like, all of them. And so, yeah, Volcarona is a good Pokemon if you want to do something competitively, if you want to do something... I think it's also really cool in Black and White 2 how they gave you, a level 35 one pretty mid-game.
Yeah, so you can actually run through the game with it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. Volcarona is just one of those weird Pokemon in Gen 5 because it's the second latest evolution, I think, Hydreigon.
It's the longest to evolve through a single stage.
Exactly.
That's
Hydreigon
true.
Was like 61 or 63.
It's 64.
But it's a three-stage evolution.
Yeah.
But Larvesta, you need to get Larvesta to 59 just to get Volcarona.
And I think the only way to get Larvesta in Gen 5 is to hatch it from an egg.
Yeah, that you get given.
Yeah. That sounds awful.
Catch one Volcarona.
Yeah, that sounds.
Yeah,
awful.
It's one of those really great Pokemon that you can't really use through the game that it first appears in.
I think that's
a
real big problem.
A total shame.
Yeah, I think that's a real big problem with Gen 5.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of weird things they did that weren't really.
I mean, it's also a problem in Gen 7, which they slightly fixed in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Yeah,
I should play those again with like random Pokemon that are like broken.
I enjoy the later games because they've just been giving us like a huge plethora of Pokemon. Gen 6 was really good at it. And then Gen 7 is, I think Gen 7 is pretty good at it too. They give us a good dose of Pokemon. The problem I have with Gen 7 is I thought back in Gen 6 when they made it possible that in Gen 6 you can catch all 721 Pokemon at the time, that they were going to move that forward. Every generation they're going to make that possible. And they just didn't in Gen 7. And that makes me a little sad. I'm hoping in Gen 8 when we move to the new console, like, hey, between all of the games in this generation, you can catch every single Pokemon. That's what I'm hoping.
We'll see. I don't know. I feel like Gen 6 was like...
A reset button into an extent with that.
It was like it managed to be both a reset button and a culmination of Pokemon at the same time.
Agree. Yeah. It just gave you a new place, like, hey, if you started playing in Gen 6, you can catch everything. And instead of being like, well, I can't catch everything because the only way to get this Pokemon is from Gen 3. Which I don't think actually ever happened. I think the farthest back you'd have to go is maybe one or two generations. Every generation. Because I think Gen 4 had a problem where you couldn't get Tangela. Unless you transferred it from Gen 3. And
they gave it an evolution in that generation.
Yeah, and
stupid. So
Gen
stupid.
5, Gen 5 was gross. It had a lot of problems. Like you couldn't catch Pikachu, and
that's not a problem. Okay, fine. I'll stop being negative about Pikachu because honestly, lately it only took 22 years, but it has started to grow on me.
It's not even that. It's just like if that's going to be the mascot of your franchise. Why can't I catch it in your game?
Because it's a break from every Pokemon game before it, and maybe they went a tiny bit overboard with it.
They realized that. Let me tell you, they realized that.
Yeah.
And at least they realized something. All right, but that I guess that's Volcarona in a nutshell. Does it have any cool stuff
trivia?
To talk about?
It does.
All right.
Got a couple others.
Like what?
One that I really like is that Volcarona and Larvesta actually are the only Pokemon that are neither legendary nor mythical that learn a move upon reaching level 100.
And that's Fiery Dance for those of you.
At yep.
home. And it's the only Pokemon that can learn it.
And honestly, the entire origin section on Bulbapedia is gold because Volcarona is a really great Pokemon which has a ton of inspired details in its design. Oof. So we're not just gonna sit here and read Bulbapedia out loud to you because that would be bad podcasting. Just go check it out.
Yeah. All right. And so that's Volcarona for you guys. If you want to check out more stuff, check out the Puckle Discord. Check out all the other cool Puckle stuff like the YouTube if you want to learn more about competitive battling. And so we will kick it on over now, guys, to the mailbag.
It's mail time. Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the Green Tauros Company energy drink. The energy drink that gives you hooves. That was sloppy, but that's okay. Welcome to the mailbag segment, the segment of the show where we read your emails. If you send them in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, we typically have a prompt. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought about the Masuda interviews last week and see what you guys think about Pokemon becoming too easy, becoming too hard. So let's jump right on into it with this first email from Aurora Baker Nam or Aurora. Yeah, we're just going to say Aurora.
All right. Dear Puckle, I'm so excited that Niantic has released the Sinnoh Dekingo. I normally can't buy Nintendo consoles, so I haven't played many of the games, but I have played Pokemon Pearl, as it was the only one in the second-hand shop. I'm so close to finishing the game and have a much-beloved Empoleon in my party. Good choice. So happy that Niantic has released Dekingo. For my birthday in November, I am buying myself a 2DS XL, which will be my first proper console. The only other console is the DSi, which I played Pearl on. DSi, that technically belongs to my mom. Oh my god, this listener is so young. I feel so old. I know this isn't to the theme / question prompt, but I'm worried I will buy Ultra Sun and Moon and a new console just for Nintendo to release the 2019 title and potentially a new console. Unfortunately, I am very impatient, and I was wondering if I should buy a 3DS XL in case the 2019 title has a 3D feature.
No.
Okay, stop right there.
No, don't do that. Stop. Don't go to the store. Stop.
Exactly. The 2DS XL is all you need.
Okay, stop there. The 2019 game
is on Switch.
It's going to be on Switch. It's going to be on the Nintendo Switch. Nintendo already released this console like a year and a half ago.
Exactly. I like, maybe she means like a new console as in like the Pikachu and Eevee Switch. Like,
she said if she should buy a 3DS XL in case the 2019 title has a 3D feature.
Exactly.
So
no,
that's what bothers me. Don't do
Switch.
That. It's going to be on the Switch. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Go buy a Switch and go buy Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. Have some fun with that.
Tide you over into the new games later in the year for later in 2019.
Yeah. Okay, there is also a promo of Let's Go coming out, which looks really fun, and I can play on my dad's Switch.
Oh.
That's the problem.
Oh, thank God.
I love this family. Like, the mom, the dad has a Switch.
Yeah.
Like,
new age kid right here.
I still don't want to know how old this person is.
No, I don't either.
So, where should I hand Nintendo my money? Sent by a new British listener.
So,
I recently finally caught Palkia in Pearl and named it TARDIS. Oh. I approve of this.
Somebody's from the UK, let me tell you.
I assume it's a she. She does say she's from the UK.
Yep.
So.
New British listener. Yeah, so... I mean, if you have access to a Switch and you can play you can already play the 2019 game. If you want to play Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon that badly, go get yourself a 2DS XL. You don't need 3D. Nobody uses it.
She has a 2DS XL. She has the perfect console to play Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you should do then. Just do that. That's all that matters. 2DS XL, man. That's a Pokemon machine. Just do that.
Yeah, it's nicer than this 3DS one, honestly. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's much more appealing.
Yeah, 2019 game, though, not going to be on 3DS. It's going to be Switch.
It will be a Switch thing. They've came out a while back and just said that they're not. It's just, yeah.
All right. So our next email is from Hootku. Oh, my gosh. They tell us how to pronounce it, and I'm an awful person. Hootku. I'm going to give this one to you, though, Shamu.
Okay. All right. Hello, Puckalonians. Hootku here, longtime listener and first-time emailer. Gonna try to keep it short here. I don't think Masuda hates competitive Pokemon, but man, he doesn't like to make it easy for the competitive community, does he? How many people can say that they played competitive Pokemon in Gen 4 or even Gen 5?
Me.
Yeah, I played a little bit. I got in towards the end of Gen 5 myself.
I raised my hand as if he could see it, but yeah. I said me.
I myself have been playing the game since the very beginning, but didn't even consider competitive Pokemon until Gen 6. Ah yes, Gen 6, finally making competitive teams more comprehensible. Breeding for IVs, abilities, and EV training finally became a little easier and even easier in Gen 7. However, why make it hard at all? If they want to make competitive communities grow, why do we have to work so hard to make a competitive team? And I won't even talk about soft resetting for good IV legendaries. In a meta and format that are constantly evolving, look at games like League of Legends or any competitive first-person shooter games that have the biggest competitive gaming communities in the world, and all that players need to do is get good at the game. I'm not saying it should be like Showdown where we can get anything we want.
but maybe make things like golden bottle caps very easily accessible after beating the game, and make EV training similar to the punching bag mechanic in X and Y, but much faster. But that's just my humble opinion. Would love to hear what you guys think. Hootku. I'm not reading that.
All right, is actually like a near instantaneous EV training thing in Gen 7. Yeah,
that's true.
And nobody uses it. It's the bouncy houses in Festival Plaza.
Yes.
A lot of people just don't use Festival Plaza for myself because I don't touch it other than battling.
Yep.
I don't touch it.
I use it for leveling up. Like, I use the kitchens for leveling up my Pokemon.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, no, there are ways to do it. And then outside of that, I don't know. So in terms of my opinion on them making it difficult, quote unquote, to get into competitive, I don't, first of all, from being a player that played back in Gen 4 and Gen 5, you kids all have it easy.
Yeah. No, Gen 5 was pain. Oh,
you guys, you kids have it easy because you can pass on 5 IVs when you breed. Okay, and your legendaries have a guaranteed 3 perfect IVs. So, you know, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Because back in the day, too, that was when, like, hacking was a main thing. Like, if you hacked, like, you're going to win because you have all these perfect IVs. You have these perfect no issues.
I think competitive Pokemon was a different thing back then because, like, if you played legitimately back then, it was definitely if you played against somebody who hacked, they were going to win because there was no way that you had a Pokemon with 5 perfect IVs. There was just no way.
Like, maybe
you could guarantee
two?
You could guarantee 3. You could get 3, and that was it. Everything else was just luck. And
exactly,
I think where it is right now is really good. I think making you work for it to an extent is good in a couple different ways. One, I think it keeps Game Freak, one thing that you need to understand about them is they're always really into keeping the feeling of being in the Pokemon world there, even present in the competitive game. And by doing that, like, if you go and you breed these Pokemon and you train them up, you still feel some sort of connection to your digital pet. And I think Game Freak really likes keeping that in there to an extent. Like, I put time and effort into this. I really appreciate it, right? And
exactly. I think it is that way for a lot of competitive players.
I'm sorry.
You could argue that it's not hard. It's just a bit tedious.
Yeah, it's just tedious. And I think
it's tedious and time consuming. So.
I think that's honestly the only thing to it, though. Like, you feel like you've had some investment into it, so you feel good. And even just talking to competitive players who I know don't hack, they do feel this way to an extent, right? They're just like, that's my Incineroar set. It's a little bit more of a possessive way of playing and, like, coming up with your ideas. You get a little bit more possessive of your ideas if you don't hack. And that's the real big thing of it. And I feel like that might get lost if we got to something that was stupid simple. And that's something that makes Pokemon Pokemon. And I don't think they're trying to really... Honestly, I don't think they really care that much about the competitive field. I think they want to have, like, a worldwide championship. But I don't think they want it to be ultra super competitive. I'm not gonna lie.
And they don't want it to be like the purpose of Pokemon.
Exactly.
They don't want to make their children's game into an esport. That's not what they're trying to do.
Exactly.
It's not. Call of Duty and League of Legends are more like...
They're not trying to make it like one of those esports.
Yeah.
But earlier this year, they legit came out with a thing in Japan called P-Sports.
That's right.
So let's look at the context.
But it's more like it's not our purpose to be an esport, but since we can be a kind of an esport with very little effort, and being an esport is good for the business, why not?
That's why they're not going to kill it, but I don't think they're actively trying to make it a thing. So we'll leave it there. All right. So this next one comes from Red7. Who he requested that I read it, so I have to use a somber voice. He said, "Let me get into the scene. The last thing I remember is concluding my nightly run at Veterans Park, a historic tribute to our nation's armed forces, filled with nature trails and soccer fields. The soft, rhythmic pitter patter of my shoes hitting the pavement echoed throughout the night as I reached my car in the parking lot. During the day." This park was alive and vibrant, with the lads of children and grown-ups alike, shouting in excitement as teams from all over the city gathered together to best each other in sport. Tonight the park remained silent and desolate. save for my sound, for the sound of my controlled breathing as I reached for the door handle of my car, and I noticed a figure moving in the reflection of my car's window. Before I could react, I was struck from behind. I awoke to the sound of chorus of chants, my head swimming in a haze of confusion and pain. As my senses returned, I noticed that I had been bound, gagged, and placed upon an odd stone. My back began to creak in discomfort as I looked around to identify the source of the chanting. Surrounding me were 8 hooded and cloaked figures, kneeling and bowing low before me. Behind them were no less than 10 figures, also cloaked and hooded. Instantly, I was flooded with an outpouring of slow emotion, anger that I hadn't been more aware of my surroundings, regret that I might never see my children again, sadness that I would never get to experience my first Giratina raid. But most of all, I felt fear, a fear that whatever was coming would be slow, agonizing, and messy. In an instant, the chanting ceased, and one of the surrounding 10 stepped forward. 107 souls we have gathered here on this, the most unholy of nights, the figure spoke in a slick and in a voice slick with violence and steel. Spiritomb, please accept this, our 108th and final offering. Become whole once again. The night air dropped, and I began to see my breath leave my mouth. I began to panic as the figure brandished a large, rusty dagger from underneath his cloak. No, that wasn't rust. It was blood. He slowly raised it over his head. I shut my eyes and braced myself for impact. What in the world are your nerds doing? Boomed a loud, authoritative voice from within the trees. Instantly, our surroundings were illuminated in a flash of blue and red lights, while the sound of a siren sliced through the suffocating silence. Immediately, my would-be attackers fled in all directions, leaving me in a sobbing, pathetic heap. A police officer emerged through the dense foliage with a pistol drawn and ran to my aid, removing my gag and untying my restraints. What kind of Dungeons and Dragons crap are you kids getting up to, son? Demanded the old officer as he looked to and fro, seeking congregation that had escaped him. It's not Dungeons and Dragons, officer, I muttered as I pulled myself off the rock and massaged my sore wrist free from their bonds. It's Pokemon Go. Later days, Red 7.
Oh. Red That's 7, thank you, because I spent like 3 days this week trying to figure out a way to make this a Halloween episode, and then we didn't, and then you did it for us. So thank you. That was amazing. And
all right.
So much, like, so funny.
So this next one, and our last email for the night, is going to be from Shira.
All right, I've got this one.
That's how we're going to end everything.
Hello, Puggle Peeps. Hope you are all doing good. Useless features. Okay. No one has said it yet, I think, but the guy who thought giving Rotom Dex a voice should not get any cake. I don't know about you, but when I see text on my screen, my eyes seek it. And when it's just Rotom Dex blathering, and it's a fixed amount of sentences, you end up reading the same stuff over and over again. So even though it may be a bit brutal, like, grab a screwdriver and take out the voice box. About Meltdown... Huh?
That's not that brutal. I'd do worse.
Sure, and I are delicate young... not so young girls. So...
Yes.
About Meltdown, they are onto us. They know the design sucks and is a weird cheap data knockoff, so they are trying to make it cute. But that works on me, at least. It also works on me, Shira. Like, the second trailer was kind of adorable.
He is adorable.
I still think it's the worst mythical so far, design-wise. What do you think? The evolved form looks too much like Reggie. Like, yes, like, I agree with Shira 1,000,000,000%.
It's like Meltdown became the Hulk. That's how I see it. He's the Hulk.
Meltdown got swole.
You won't like him when he's angry and has a lot of friends.
Meltdown became just like it.
it's like when we had that old ad about the Incredible Muck. You won't like him when he evolves. It's the same thing. Also, how about giving us some of the adorable Pokemon back that we couldn't transfer, like the spiky-eared Pichu and the ukulele Pichu from Ranger? There was an ukulele Pichu in Ranger?
Yeah. It was in one of the Rangers. It wasn't in all of them.
How did I miss this awesome thing? like, okay, I don't play Pokemon Ranger. Maybe
that's
I should
why.
Have.
No, anyway. Don't.
No, because
don't.
I.
You know, destroy your DS.
Exactly. Yeah. I like my bottom screen.
Yes.
Awesome games. You can always get a new wrist once you're done playing them. Yeah, but you also have to get a new 3DS. So.
Yes. I have five. Just borrow one.
I've got like Game four, Freak. I think.
I have three.
I have more than any human being should. It's fine.
I think I have five too now, looking at what I have right here.
I have three. I have three active ones. They all have different purposes. We can get into this later.
Like, I have four, but I gave one to my sister, so that's okay. Game Freak can dish out some new fries for those if they have time to make Meltan. I mean, yeah. Oh, by the way, there's one thing about Meltan we didn't mention. Its Pokédex number is 808, and Melmetal is 809, and shut up, everyone else.
Perfect.
Oh, and please make Synchronize work 100% of the time. Yes, since I found Shiny Cartana twice, and my Synchro failed. Oh no, Shira, I feel for you. I'm sorry. By the way, there is an event in the Sun and Moon or Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon games. I believe the synchronized ability is 100%. I think it's for the second Cosmog later in the game.
And for Type No.
And for the Silvally. Type No. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for now, have fun, you guys. Love, Shira. Well, thank you, Shira.
Well, I don't think you can make synchronized work 100% of the time. I think that would be too stupid. Because okay, so imagine a regular game playthrough.
Exactly.
And you have a synchronizer at the front of your party and you're going through catching Pokemon. That's not a good time. Like that's my biggest concern is more. And that's honestly where Game Freak's bigger concern is going to be as well, is how is this going to ruin the end game thing? Because honestly, if we think about things like synchronize and a couple other things, the reason that we use them is because Game Freak gave it to us and we're kind of exploiting it. We're exploiting Game Freak's game. They're not making that a feature for us. They just made it a feature and we're exploiting it. That's the way I see it.
I mean, like, yes, but
it's on both sides of that, too.
Exactly. At the same time, like, look at the Masuda method. They keep giving us stuff that makes it easier to shiny hunt because they know we shiny hunt.
Yes, that's true.
So, I would not be against a held item that makes synchronize work 100% of the time.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
You only use it in the post game to shiny hunt legendaries.
That's the way to do it.
Doesn't influence like the playthrough.
That was like a toggleable item or something like that, kind of like how you have shiny charm and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just something extra you can get a hold of to like turn on and off.
I would more think like something that you
hell let him would be better.
Synchronized Pokemon. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying just something. Like even if it was that level, like a key item or something. Just something to do it.
Oh right. Well, this is where we're gonna end the mailbag. Do we think that we wanna give the badge to anybody? That's where I was going. I didn't forget. You all think I forget, and I do, but not today. I think it's either gonna be Aura or Hootku.
Aurora.
Yes. Aurora, you get the badge. Done. You go to the Discord if you want it, if you're old enough. And so that is where we're going to end. If you want to send an email next week, you can send it into pucklepodcast@gmail.com. The prompt for next week, it doesn't have to follow this. You can just email me about your favorite cookie. But I would like to know, what are some of your favorite competitively viable Pokemon, and what are some of your Pokemon that you like to use that aren't typically competitively viable, but you think you can make them work? Send that in, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to do some more puckly cool things this week, you can check out our Discord. The link is in the show notes as always. You can always check out our Twitter, Facebook, Reddit. All crazy things get posted there as well. You can always check out our YouTube now, which has content that should be flowing in a semi-regular manner for at least the duration of the WWTC. And maybe more so when the UUTC gets underway. And if you want to check us out and help support the show, you could do so in a couple different ways. One, you can check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. You can watch me and Jushiro stream it up. And if you want to donate money there through bits, we're more than happy to take that. If you would like to use your Twitch Prime subscription or an actual subscription on Puckle, we appreciate that. We also have an exclusive emoji on Twitch now. It's a burn heel.
We have it now?
Yeah, it's up. Cool. So if you subscribe to the Puckle Twitch, you get the burn heel emoji. Finally, if you want, I would suggest checking out TeePublic, where we have a bunch of cool stuff, including the new Pucko logo that's finally up there. You get to put that on a throw pillow, on a t-shirt, on a poster, whatever you think would be the best way to do it. We really, really like that, and I'd appreciate seeing you guys spend some money there. If not, don't worry about it. Like, we just like you listening to the show. And finally, if you want to be a bit more direct, you can go to patreon.com/pucklepodcast and support the show over there, where we give you a bunch of cool stuff, including a live show once a month. We also give out Pokemon. We give out Puckle TCG cards, a bunch of cool stuff. So definitely check that out if you're interested in that. And that is my spiel. So I am Trainer Thatch.
I'm Dr. Shamu.
And I am the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. Thanks to everybody at our Patreon for supporting the show. Thank you to Viger, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Andrea, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Dr. Shamu, Snag, Dexio, Jushiro, Rotted Mushroom, Bosefiz, Alvarin, Seth Vilo, Minor Manetric, Claude Nine, The Beauty and the Geek, John, R. Sigma, Doc McStuffles, Nathan, The Golden Klefki, Trevor, TJ, Doc Knox, Shambles, Birdkeeper Cobra, Daniel, TreyB31, Greg, Alec, Mikey, Ozzy, Jedi DJ, The British Gent, Sparky, Nick, Dylan, Shira, Ironcaster, Orange Avenger, Michael, Clifford, Joseph, Hazelnut, Thomas, Michael, Curtis, Echo, Anime, Gravy, Travis, Inferno, 235, Alex, and The Real EV. Because of you guys, we can do a lot of cool stuff. And just a reminder, you can get an Alolan Golem named Margaret that is shiny just by depositing a Dupiter named Puckle onto the GTS until Thursday, October 4th. So go and do that if you want to get some cool free stuff, guys. I can't wait to talk to you guys later, and I will catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.